Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that first hour flew right by. I'm going to warn you now, the other two are going to move along at an even faster clip, so buckle in. A great hour of radio in the previous hour. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're just tuning in now, I can promise you you're going to enjoy this one. Welcome to the Carr Firearms Group Studios with me. I am Mark Walters, sitting in front of the powerful Sig Sauer Platinum microphone, bringing this broadcast to you from the Patriot Mobile Control, Command, and Communication Center. And it's all brought to us every single day by X Insurance and all of our great partners. Make sure to check them all out at armedamericanradio.com. We'll talk about more of them individually as we move through the program. Greg in Dallas, Texas, would you be kind enough, please, to tell people where to watch the show in high definition so they can see our guest photo up there, Cam Edwards? He's coming up in just a second. But don't do it while you're driving, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want you watching Cam. We want you watching the road. Greg, it's all yours.
Sure. If you want to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you can see the menu icon. Just give it a click, and when that window opens up, select that Watch Live option. If, like Mark said, if you're driving, hit that Listen Live link, and if you need to get caught up on anything you may have missed, head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join our live chat, just head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
Thank you for that, Greg. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for sending crappy weather my way again.
It's, you are welcome.
Out, but it got really cold. That means it's not in your neck of the woods anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. And by the way, Greg, we do have a few new stations. I'll see if I can pull those calls up and give them a shout-out here sometime during this hour. Cam Edwards from BearingArms.com, my brother from another mother. You make it so easy. This is going to be such an easy hour for me. Thank you for being here, man. I appreciate it. Always fun.
Absolutely, man. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, you know what's fun? Like, I say this whenever you're on, and I love it because you make my job so much easier. Oh, Cam's on in the second hour? Okay, I don't have to do that much work because I know Cam's coming in. You're a fan favorite for a reason, Cam. Welcome in. It's great to have you here. So let's start with constitutional carry, something near and dear to both of our hearts. This has been a long, hard-fought battle. And honestly, it's been a really bizarre battle. And I'll quote Stephen Gutowski from his piece in The Reload he was just on in the previous half hour. The meteoric rise that we've seen here seems to be shocking everybody, like myself, you. I mean, even A.W.R. Hawkins, it's so beautiful to see. Did you ever think you'd see it happen this fast?
No. I mean, when you look at, you know, how long it took for the shall issue right to carry revolution to really, you know, take root, the progress that we've seen with constitutional carry just over the past 15 years is really incredible, right? Because I think it was 2009 when Arizona adopted constitutional carry. Alaska passed a few years before that.
2010,
you know, really,
in Arizona, by the way.
Vermont. And, yeah, you know, we're up to now 29. You know, I think the concern is for me that what's the ceiling? You know, when you look around the country, where are those other states where we're likely to see constitutional carry pass? And I think, you know, at the moment, we're probably going to top out around 30. You know, with North Carolina, I think very much an option, particularly if Mark Robinson wins election in November. but, you know, we got to gain some ground here. I live in Virginia. I would love for Virginia to become a constitutional carry state. Unfortunately, you know, we haven't had the numbers to make that happen, but it really is truly incredible to see. And you're right. It's been a long, strange trip for both Louisiana and South Carolina. I mean, it may seem like this was easy in Louisiana because it was introduced and basically 2 weeks later, the governor signed it. But as you well know, Mark, lawmakers passed this in 2021. was vetoed by Governor Edwards. They had a veto-proof majority, but during the veto override session, suddenly a couple people had to be absent that day. A couple others switched their votes, and all of a sudden this bill that had passed, died. And so it really is the perseverance of gun owners in Louisiana who brought this, I think, to the attention of Jeff Landry. And then once Louisiana passed it, South Carolina, the House and the Senate had been at odds with each other, and I think they were kind of embarrassed. Yeah. That they couldn't get it done, and Louisiana could, and I think that led to them saying, "All right, let's get something together that we can both live with." And they passed that 2 days after Louisiana adopted constitutional carry. So, yeah, it's been a great week as far as seeing our right to bear arms expand.
It was, I like Stephen's phrasing, the meteoric rise, and the South Carolina Louisiana thing. It was almost a duel, wasn't it? I mean, I kind of looked at because they were looking at it. And then Florida, I think, gave Florida the push. And I think Florida gave South Carolina and Louisiana the push to get this thing over the finish line. And as you know, the bill was introduced in South Carolina. It stalled out. I don't want to say poison pills, but that's basically what it was. You had a couple Republicans in there kind of torpedo it. And then, boom, South Carolina sees what Louisiana did. And it was like they were doing battle to try to get this over the finish line. And what you said about North Carolina, I happen to be in 100% agreement with. I think North Carolina, particularly if Mark Robinson wins the governor's seat, which I think he's going to do. Mark's a great guy. I know you know him. I know him personally. I've had the opportunity and honor to introduce him to speak. I've sat and had dinner with him. He's a wonderful man. And if he can pull this off, which I think he's going to do in North Carolina, good heavens, look for North Carolina, to fast track here. Virginia is an odd one, and I think we cap at 34 a little bit as well. Your legislature is not going to be real friendly. Your governor would sign it. But unfortunately, what are you down? One seat in both sides of the legislature that's keeping it from happening? Your state has 47 gun control bills going to the governor. Right. What in the world?
Yeah, Democrats have a one-seat majority, and they're acting like this is New York or California. I mean, it is nuts. And I do think that, Governor Youngkin vetoed a couple of these bills on Friday, the first ones to get to his desk. And these were sort of the ones that you could see him signing. Like one of them dealt with knowingly transferring a firearm to a prohibited person who lives in your house. Like these were some rather technical bills. This wasn't the assault weapons ban. And he vetoed those bills. So I feel pretty good that if he's got to veto those bills, he's got to veto the big ones. The repeal of restaurant carry, for example, the ban on semi-automatic firearms and large capacity magazines. But you're right. I mean, it's crazy that we've got Democrats with a one-seat majority in both the House and the Senate, and this is the stuff that they're passing. And it's scary. And I hope it's a wake-up call for Virginia gun owners. We turned out in force in 2021. Youngkin, he's term limited. He's not running again in 25. So this is, if we get a Democrat governor, this is what's going to get enacted into law, and that scares me.
Yeah, Norfolk, Richmond, Roanoke, those areas across the state, you're tuned in right now. Guys, come on now. You got to pull it out. Let's talk briefly about the politics involved. There were a couple headlines out there, and forgive me for not remembering which one it was. I think it was an AP piece that said, and I read them on The Daily Show, 47 bills look like, and if you read the bill list over at VCDL, which I'm sure you've done, it's like 10 pages of gun control bills. And the AP's headline said something like this, I'm paraphrasing, the governor is expected to veto most of them. And I think you just hit the two bills that might have stood a chance. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's likely going to veto the rest, which is a good sign. But what are the politics involved here? The Democrats know that these are not going to move, that Youngkin isn't going to sign these. Is this all a stunt because it's an election year?
I think there is a performative aspect to it. Particularly when you look at, New Mexico and Colorado, two states where Democrats have the trifecta in place, right? And it's interesting, Michelle Lujan Grisham, same thing, right? She proposed 14 gun control bills. Mm-hmm. And Democrats gave her two of them that they watered down and exempted concealed carry holders. Now, who did Michelle Lujan Grisham go after last fall, Mark? Concealed carry holders, right?
Right.
And the legislature exempted concealed carry holders from the waiting period and from the gun ban at polling places. They didn't give her a gun ban. They didn't give her a lot of the stuff that Virginia Democrats have passed and sent to Governor Youngkin, because I think they know that the voters are going to hold them accountable, right, if they do something like that. And they're scared. Same thing in Colorado. You know, Denver Democrats have introduced some really awful bills. There are some really bad bills that are seeing some progress, but some of them are stalling out. This is not the, you know, they're not getting everything that they wanted this year. And I think that's interesting that you're seeing that in states where the Democrats could give them everything that they want. And yet in Virginia, where, you know, Youngkin has got to swat away these gun control bills, that's where they're showing their true colors, right? That's where they're really just letting the cards lay on the table.
And let's face it, too, Winsome Sears, I'm sure the governor's, you know, got her ear or she's got his ear, however you want to look at it, because I don't think she's having any of it. So it does look good, but it is posturing. It's a political stunt, no question about it. You know, real quick, we're getting ready to take a break. You mentioned New Mexico. I'll give you my thoughts on that when we come back. And then when we come back, I do want to talk with you about the ATF, that debacle on CBS News, which was amazing. And Tom Knighton over at Bearing Arms has a really good piece about retired ATF agents joining the attack on Missouri's gun rights. We'll kind of tie those two together for you, ladies and gentlemen. You just got a taste of what's coming for the next three segments. Buckle down, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is going to fly by. We'll be back with Cam Edwards right after the break. Don't go away. The following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show. Yeah, I just noticed that says Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. It's not just the Daily Defense. It's also the Monster Cast as well, patriotmobile.com. Like I said, use the promo code at patriotmobile.com/AAR and get free activation right away. Check out all of our partners. Don't forget Barrel Buddy. If you're not cleaning your guns, and I'm gonna be honest, you know, I don't clean them as near as I do now, because the Barrel Buddies, I have them sitting over here in the studio with me. Those things are a dream. One of those inventions you think, man, why didn't I come up with that? $14, $14.99 to be exact, just under $15 for a little zip package of 50 of these things. Run it through your barrel twice, wham, your gun is clean. BarrelBuddy.com. PTAmmo.com. Buy American made. PT Ammo. They're behind the steel curtain or iron curtain or blue curtain, whatever you want to call it, up there in Connecticut, Guilford, Connecticut, to be exact. Support them for supporting the show. PTAmmo.com. And don't forget to build your goat guns. GoatGuns.com. Coolest thing out there. These builds are amazing. They're fun. They're like $30. They're exact replicas. GoatGuns.com. If you're a first-time buyer over there, use the promo code AAR and get 10% off your purchase right away. Cam Edwards rejoins us now for the remainder of the hour. Cam, welcome back. Let's make a move over to ATF. I have been dying to get your take on that CBS Face the Nation. Now, I'm taking a little bit of a risk here because I haven't talked to you, but I've got to believe you saw that. Good heavens. What?
Yeah.
What? Give us Cam Edwards' take on this nonsense, would you please?
Well, you know, so, I mean, obviously there's the face plant of the ATF agent who, you know, couldn't disassemble and put a gun back together to show how easy it was to, you know, build a gun, right? That alone. And the fact that, you know, here's what really drove me crazy. Like, it's not what Steve Dettelbach said. It's not the, you know, embarrassment of the ATF. It is the fact that CBS pushed back on none of this, Mark.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, look, we're used to clueless reporters, and I know that Stephen Gutowski has talked about this as well, but, you know, this wasn't just a matter of, like, not knowing your stuff, right? There was just no pushback whatsoever to anything that Dettelbach said or did throughout that entire segment. So, you know, when she brought up bump stocks and Dettelbach decided to talk about auto sears instead, I thought that was a moment that, you know, somebody who wasn't just there to provide good press to the Biden administration would have pushed back a little bit, because these are two very different issues, right? And Dettelbach, you know, look, I mean, he was not outright advocating for new gun laws, any specific gun laws, but he talked about how Congress, you know, listen, if Congress passes new laws, great, that's great. We, you know, we'll work with whatever. This was such a politicized interview. And it's interesting, coming up on Tuesday on Cam and Company, I'm talking with a former ATF agent myself, Peter Ficelli. He was one of the whistleblowers in Fast and Furious.
Right.
And he has a new book that just came out. It's a heck of a read, by the way. Just his memoir, right, of what it was like in Phoenix at the time when Fast and Furious started. And I asked him about Dettelbach. And it's interesting, you know, he said the people that he still talks to within the agency, he's retired now, said that this is, that Dettelbach is basically just taking orders from the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention at this point. That, you know, this is basically a weaponized gun control group. And that's what's really scary. You know, I mean, we've seen the rules that have been promulgated to date. I was a little surprised we didn't hear Biden talk about anything at the State of the Union in terms of new rules from the ATF. But we know that the gun control groups are constantly whispering in the White House's ear about what to do without a vote from Congress. And, you know, it would have been nice to have seen somebody with a willingness, not even the knowledge, but just the willingness to question Dettelbach the way that a Republican senator or a gun rights advocate would have been grilled on CBS, you know?
It's never going to happen, sadly. Let me go back to ATF, the ATF agent, because, again, this ties in with Tom's article over at Bearing Arms that came out just today, earlier today. It was a good one, and it's a perfect place to segue. You're talking to this former agent. Man, I would love to know, and I've been very vocal about this, and I'm not going to back down. If you are an ATF agent listening to this program and you know you're working for a weaponized agency, I have no sympathy for you. None. There are police departments, law enforcement agencies across this country that are seeking good people. If you're at the ATF by choice right now and you know you're working for that weaponized agency, you ain't no friend to me, this program, or gun owners. And there are, you know, Tom kind of ties that in, Cam, with, I don't want, you know, say, I'm not going to say everybody at the ATF is bad. I know there are people at the ATF that are very frustrated with what the agency has become. And you use the right word. It's weaponized. We all know that, and they know it. So let's use that to pivot now to retired ATF agent joins attack on Missouri's gun rights stance. Let me read this. Stop the madness. Let's do something positive to fight gun violence in Missouri. As a retired agent with the BATFE, I know legislation passed by the General Assembly in recent years is a causal factor of the increased gun violence in the major cities of St. Louis and Kansas City. More than 3 years ago, I emailed letters to my state reps. He names them. I suggested legislation to allow for stricter gun control laws in the local communities of St. Louis County, KC, and Jackson County. I also suggested local ordinances requiring permits for handguns and assault weapons and to carry or transport loaded weapons of this type in these jurisdictions. Residents of these special jurisdictions, currently carrying concealed weapons, handguns, and assault rifles would be grandfathered in as long as they did not carry a loaded handgun or assault weapon outside their residence or business property. I also detailed specifics of these permit requirements, including criminal penalties, firearm and vehicle seizures, and a special gun court. I received no feedback or questions from these government leaders. Remember, the perpetrators of the Chiefs rally mass shooting at Union Station were carrying and using handguns and an assault rifle. Cam, he failed to tell you that that gun was stolen, by the way, and that they were committing federal and state crimes. This is the mindset of these agents now. Is this permeating the entire bureau?
You know, I'd like to think not. But at the same time, I don't think that this mindset is found only at the ATF, right? I think you can find this mindset throughout law enforcement. And it's this mindset of let's cut constitutional corners to make our job easier. Because we're going after bad guys, right? We're going after these, you know, people who will open fire in a crowd at people who are running away from them, right, because they got into an argument. We're going after and trying to stop these people from doing this stuff. So, you know what, give us the tools that we need. And, I mean, we promise that we're not going to abuse it too much. And if we do, you're probably not going to be the recipient of it, right, because you don't live in one of these special areas, quote-unquote.
special areas. Cam, that music, as you well know, doing what you do for a living for all of these years, means we're going to take another break. When we come back on the flip side, we'll continue this conversation about ATF and special areas. And does this guy have the authority to tell you this stuff simply because he's a retired agent? He knows more than you. We'll be right back. The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back. I love it. Patriot Mobile Communication Center here at AAR Ranch. Car Firearms Group Studios officially, and the Sig Sauer microphone, X Insurance, presents it all. We're going to jump right back in with Cam Edwards. I have so much to talk with you about, Cam. We'll get right into it with you. Back to that ATF for just a moment. I've been hard on the ATF, brother, and I offer no apologies whatsoever, because I've watched the way these guys have been working and changing over the years. And I, you know, as you go to SHOT and you see the ATF there, and then you watch this debacle with Dettelbachel up there talking about how, for example, well, you see this is a fully automatic AK. This is full auto, military, law enforcement, but everybody else, no, you can't have it because we said so. No, I think you ought to be able to buy it legally through a vending machine, but that's just me, and I'm radical. However, he was affix a bump stock to it, and it becomes the same gun. It functions the same. Cam, it does not function the same. But to the mush watching and to the mush reporting who knew nothing, they just took what he said as gospel, and then they went to the Glock, you know, the Glock switches, which, like we talked about the next day on the show on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, you get caught with that thing anywhere, it's a 10-year jail sentence. He failed to tell people that you're already violating the law. And I went as far as saying, ladies and gentlemen, don't even search for that stuff online. Just stay away from it. That's what law-abiding people do. Right? I mean, that's good advice, though, right? Before we go any further?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Here's what worries me, Mark, and I know that you and I have talked about this before. You know, I think the Biden administration, and this is, I think, something they're going to say for the second term, but, you know, I think Dettelbach is making the case that, look, he's already conflating what the definition of a machine gun is, right? So he's already muddying those waters. Then he starts talking about auto series blocks,
right,
which is how they make these, you know, semi-automatic firearms, machine guns, right? So as you say, man, these things are already illegal. They're showing up everywhere. I think Peter Schweitzer just had a book come out talk about how China is, you know, basically flooding the United States with these things. I think we're going to get to a point where the Biden administration is going to say, look, we can't ban them. We've banned the switches. They're still here. Now we got to go after the guns, right? They are readily converted to machine guns. We got to treat them like they're machine guns. And we are talking about, you know, the vast majority of handguns and long guns in this country. That, I think, is, you know, the end goal for the gun control groups. It would accomplish more than a you know, quote unquote, assault and ban in Congress. And if the ATF says they've got the authority to do this, you don't need a vote in Congress. So that's kind of what concerns me about where Dettelbach was going with this. You know. And again, maybe, you know, if you had a real interview going on at CBS, they could have sussed some of that out. But they just, you know, they let him talk without pushback.
You and I discussed this very thing, both off air and on air, a couple years ago. Well, let's get real here. The semi-automatic, well, this is why the bump stock case is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Let me go back to this briefly for you. You heard, at least on this show, if you were listening, and if you saw the CBS Face the Nation piece, I would highly recommend that you go see it. If you haven't, it's out there online. Just Google it up, search it up, DuckDuckGo, whatever you want to use. Have at it. And you will see exactly what Cam just said. You'll see Dettelbach do it. He is setting up a semi-automatic firearm to be placed on the NFA at some point in time. Now, if they can reclassify, Cam, a bump stock, if they can reclassify that as a machine gun, well, guess what happens? I can pull up videos of people bump firing their guns with their belt loop and their finger. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're all over YouTube. Guess what's coming next? Well, we banned bump stocks and people can still do it. You know what? We made a mistake. It's not the bump stock. It's the firearm. We've misclassified semi-automatic all these years. We need to put semi-automatic rifles, all of them, on that NFA list. That is their ultimate goal. Is that what I heard you just say?
Yeah, that's it.
There you go, ladies
and
gentlemen.
I don't know the ultimate goal, but I think it's one of their goals, right? You know, we can talk about where they go from there. But yeah, I mean, think about that. So, you know, even if they were to say we're going to open up the NFA to every existing owner, you just got to, and we'll even waive the $200 tax stamp. You just got to let us know who you are and what guns you own. I mean, Mark, hasn't that been one of the goals of the gun control groups for the past 50 or 60 years?
Yeah, let me answer your question with a statement. Or, well, I'll answer your question with another question. Let me put it this way. If we agreed to that, do you think they're going to say, okay, thanks for agreeing to that. Our job is done. We can disband now. Thanks for the money, Bloomberg. We're finished. We've accomplished our goals. The answer to that is flat out no. They're never going to stop. So it's just, it's a cascading effect. It's one thing after another, Cam, and you just nailed it. That is exactly what they're trying to do. And ladies and gentlemen, when you watch the reporting and you can see the media narrative being created with semi-auto, right? The media demonizes it. They have to describe everything as a semi-automatic weapon of war. Why? Because the same crowd that fell for that stuff watching CBS is the same one that's reading that going, we got to get rid of these semi-automatic rifles. Those are weapons of war. They shouldn't be in anybody's hands. That they're all working in conjunction. They're all working in unison, Cam. That's what scares me to death. Simply because there are too many people out there. Look, let's be real. As I said in the previous hour, I'll say it to you. I think you'll agree. Millions of Americans saw that and got scared. Mission accomplished by CBS, the Biden administration, and ATF, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And it's funny because they say that it's the Second Amendment movement that thrives on fear. No, they are dependent on scaring people, right? On weaponizing ignorance. And I don't mean stupidity. I mean the absence of knowledge, right? If they can scare people who don't know about these things, their job is so much easier, right? Because those are the people who believe, well, if you just pass this law, then the problem gets solved.
Yeah, and guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to ATF, now, Cam, you don't want to go there. I'll go there. The reporter and the two ATF, Dettelbach and his technical expert, the combination of the three were a combination of too stupid and too ignorant to be embarrassed by what they put out, Cam. Because if they knew the pushback they were going to get, and how this is not aging well for them, particularly the technical expert, his video of him trying to disassemble a Glock and then try to reassemble with the wrong slide on the lower. Good heavens. You know, this guy was just batting 1,000. It's not aging well for them at all. But they're too stupid and they're too ignorant to be embarrassed by what they put out. Here's why that matters, folks. They don't care about that. They care about what you just heard Cam say, reaching the people they reached, and they did successfully. And some of those people are not stupid. They're just ignorant. Some of them are stupid, but some of them, the vast majority, are just ignorant, see that, don't know any different, Cam. So they take it at face value. Well, this guy's the head of the ATF. He must know something. And they'll look at the expert.
Exactly, right. Oh. Yeah, we weren't the target audience for that interview.
No,
right?
No, I mean, no. Obviously not.
You know, they're not trying to woo us to their side.
Well,
they're not trying to convince us that they're right. We're the obstacle, right? We're the problem. And so, no, they were speaking to our friends and to our neighbors, you know, who don't own guns. They were speaking to those folks in New Jersey and Massachusetts who freak out over the thought of a gun store opening up in town. Right. Those were the folks that this interview was aimed at.
And you're right.
Successful. I succeeded in scaring the pants off of them.
There's no question about it. We're taking our final break, ladies and gentlemen. Just found out. And when we come back, I want to take you to Ohio. Ohio Supreme Court says warning shots count as self-defense. This is an interesting read. By the way, you can read everything Cam puts out and the great staff over at BearingArms.com. Tom and the rest of them, John, you've heard John on the program before. Haven't had Tom on. We have to make that a reality as well. BearingArms.com, Cam and Company. Also, you can watch Cam and Company. You can find all of that information over at BearingArms.com. We'll be right back. One more segment to go with the great Cam Edwards from Bearing Arms and Cam and Company. Don't go away. We'll be back on the flip side of this break.
The Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Don't forget to use the promo code AAR at MyPillow.com. Welcome back.
Yeah, guys, MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. It doesn't matter where you see a MyPillow ad, doesn't matter where you see it, where you read it. All you've got to do to get all those great discounts is visit MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. They have built us one heck of a site over there. It's slick. You can see it all the sales. They keep it up with all the changes. That's why we don't even need to tell you anymore. We couldn't keep up with the changes going on over there. So they put the website together for us, and it's a great one. Please support Mike Lindell. He has supported your gun rights through this program for over a decade. He has co-hosted the show with me when we were doing the program live up there at 1280 AM, The Patriot in Minneapolis. We love you guys. Back in the day, we used to go up there. I think we did 9 years in a row at that great Minnesota State Fair. Great time up there. In fact, I was up there broadcasting during the BLM riots. It's been a while. But please, Mike, he went out of his way, left a Trump rally on a private jet to get there in time to support Armed American Radio and your gun rights by co-hosting the show with us. It was great stuff. MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. Use the AAR promo code and show them that you support him for supporting your gun rights. He's been with us for a decade. They have never wavered on your right to bear arms. That's the equation, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it works. Heaven's Harvest gives you the emergency food supply. Same thing, cutting-edge firewood. You can smoke your burgers with cutting-edge firewood. They ship all over the country. It's that time of year. It's always that time of year at the ranch here, but wherever you may be, maybe it's too cold for you, go get some of that great smoking wood, cutting-edge firewood. They ship it all over the country. And support the companies that support your right to bear arms. Armslist.com, by the way, too. America's firearms marketplace. Cam Edwards, welcome back, brother. It's always a pleasure to have you here. We've got you for one more segment. Let's keep going and keep moving on. Let's go over to Ohio real fast. All right, I want to pivot over there quickly. You have a great piece up. Ohio Supreme Court says warning shots count as self-defense. What's going on here, Cam? Clue our audience in.
Yeah, this is interesting. So this stems from a case where a guy named Tyler Wilson was convicted on a charge of felonious assault. He was acquitted on a charge of attempted second-degree murder. So Tyler was at a gas station. Guy pulls up beside him, like really, really close to Tyler's car. They start jawing. Guy's in a truck. Tyler says he pulled a gun. Tyler pulled his gun, fired a shot. A warning shot, he says, right? Did not intend to hit the guy, but fired it up in the air to scare him and to get him to leave. So he's arrested and again charged with attempted second-degree murder, felonious assault. His attorney starts to argue a self-defense argument, right? And the judge says, basically, listen, that's not going to go anywhere because your client said he fired a warning shot. So he's convicted. And on appeal, he raises basically the argument that he had ineffective counsel because he should have been able to argue self-defense. And the Ohio Supreme Court agreed that there's nothing in Ohio statute that says you have to act with an intent to harm or kill another person in order to assert and be entitled to a self-defense jury instruction. So I thought this is interesting, Mark, because, you know, again, we've talked before not just about, you know, what a bad idea is from a tactical sense to fire a warning shot.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, we've said, listen, you run the risk of legal jeopardy. And at least in Ohio, the Supreme Court says, well, you can raise self-defense as an argument. It is not automatically that you're going to be, you know, charged with discharging a firearm in an occupied area or something of those along those lines.
You know, I find this interesting for a couple reasons, because when I first read your piece, I thought, I've never really given that a lot of thought. Let's go to the tactical standpoint first. I think your recommendation would be like mine, that that's a bad idea. Firing that gun in the air, what goes up comes down, ladies and gentlemen, number one. But it would seem to me that firing a warning shot to stop an attack against you would automatically be considered self-defense, or you should be able to argue self-defense. Because if you were in the process of being robbed and you maybe thought, I can fire a warning shot, not kill somebody, and they'll go away, wouldn't that be the best outcome? Of course, you're responsible. There's, and we can debate the tactics all day. We don't have enough time to do that. But it would seem to me that that would be a natural self-defense defense, wouldn't it?
For some people, no. Right? I think for some people, that thought would be like, why? No, that's crazy. Why would you do that? But I think for some people, you're absolutely right. Listen, nobody that I know anyway, looks forward to using their gun in self-defense. Nobody wakes up and says, man, I hope today's the day I get robbed at the ATM, right?
Exactly.
So you're right. I think there is a natural inclination on some people's part. And again, you could argue whether or not it's a good tactical decision. But to say, I don't want to take another person's life. I want to give them the opportunity to run away. So I'm going to fire the shot into the ground. I'm going to fire the shot up into the air. Are they acting to defend themselves? Absolutely, they are, right? But, you know, I think that perspective is, the other perspective is, well, if you really put your life within danger, why'd you shoot in the ground? Why'd you shoot in the air? Why didn't you shoot at the person who was attacking you? And I think you do have to maybe give some people the benefit of the doubt that they didn't want to take a human life. And so, yeah, they were, I guess they were running, you know, willing to run the risk. But that was still a shot fired in self-defense.
Yeah, because, again, each scenario is different, Cam, as we all know. It's hard. We can't really paint with a broad brush here because each situation is going to unfold differently, and it's going to unfold very quickly in real time. And I'll say this. If you're justified in pulling your firearm and firing a warning shot, you're also justified in firing at somebody to stop them from harming you. So, you know, that if you're going to draw your gun, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to make that commitment, you'd better be in the right. Now, we've talked about this with, you know, Andrew Brank is a great interview on stuff like this, because Lord heavens, you do not want to find yourself in a courtroom. Again, that's the tactics of it. But it would seem to me that if you fired in self-defense, I mean, what would be the difference if you fired and missed and didn't tell him it was in self, that it was a warning shot? Maybe you intentionally fired a warning shot by missing that individual to scare them away. And just don't tell anybody that, right? And that person goes away. Would that be considered self? See, there's a lot of nuance here. These are crazy cases. Because of time, we've only got about a minute. Cornyn. Let me just take you to Cornyn. Is he a good idea from a gun owner's perspective?
No, not from a gun owner's perspective. I mean, listen, you know, John Cornyn's a deal maker. John Cornyn is going to do what John Cornyn wants to do. But there are candidates out there who've got a much stronger record of the Second Amendment who weren't part of the negotiations on the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And I hope that, you know, gun owners will let their senators know how they feel about that.
Yeah, he has been no friend to you, ladies and gentlemen. Cam, we've only got about 15 or 20 seconds. Please tell people where they can go see you, watch you, and all the great work that you do, please.
Absolutely. BarryandArms.com. Check out Barry and Arms Cam and Company on YouTube, Rumble, all the major podcast platforms. And Mark, as always, man, really appreciate the invite, and I look forward to being back soon.
Thanks for being here, Cam. I appreciate it so much. You do great work. You make my job so much fun, and it is so fun to talk with you. Ladies and gentlemen, when Cam and I get together and talk, whether it's on the phone or whether in person, well, you just got to hear it. That's what the conversation is like. And Cam, thank you. You really do. You bring out the best in everybody, including this radio host. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Cam Edwards, ladies and gentlemen, he is the real deal. Enjoy the rest of your day, Cam. Thanks for being here. When we come back, a classic Armed American Radio roundtable. You know who's going to be here. Brad Primo, CEO of Lead Slingers Whiskey, is going to be here. Justin Moon, CEO of Car Arms, is going to be here. And reporter Neil McCabe from Parts Unknown over at redstate.com. He's clearly losing his Boston accent. Prepare. It's always a raucous hour, and I'm telling you now, it's going to fly right by, so buckle in. We'll see you at 6 minutes after the top of this hour. Enjoy your break. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.